Hello, everybody. I'm Bruce Kyle. I'm an architect evangelist with Microsoft, and I'm here today with Jared Vogt, who is the CTO of Avalara here in Bainbridge Island. Jared, tell us a little bit about what you do.
Our motto is making sales tax less taxing. Mm-hmm. We are bringing automation to the sales tax problem for businesses. So as an example, businesses might use an outsourced payroll. We do that for sales tax. So for a business, we go in and we solve all of their sales tax issues from the calculation all the way through to the compliance side, the remittance and the returns side as well.
So how would I use that? Would I use that on an e-commerce site, or are there other places I might use it? Or?
So the interesting thing about sales tax or transactional taxes, if you think about commerce transactions, tax is almost always a player in just about any transaction. And so those transactions can be e-commerce transactions. They could be transactions done out of an accounting application. They could be out of a quote system. In fact, the number of places where tax has to be dealt with in commerce transactions is pretty staggering. I mean, it's pretty close to all of them.
So you'd think I'd be able to walk in and calculate my sales tax at 9.8% or whatever it is in Washington or California, where I happen to be. How does it work after that?
Well, you would like to think it would be that easy, but the reality is in the United States, just in the United States, there's more than 15,000 tax jurisdictions. So trying to figure out what the appropriate rate is for a given transaction is anything but just a simple multiplication by a rate and a location. For myself personally, when I joined this business, I came mostly from the technology side of stuff. I always knew that there was a different sales tax in Seattle than it was in, say, Bainbridge Island, but had never really paid attention to, you know, why that was. And through this whole process, I've learned that it really is a very, very complex thing for businesses to keep track of. And that's just the rates. On top of the rates, they've got issues around taxability, because there's different rates depending on what they're actually selling. There's a different rate for services than there might be for these goods, or even crazier, there might be different rates depending on things that you would think are exactly the same. For example, candy, mm-hmm. If the content of a candy bar is over a certain percentage in wheat, it moves out of the candy category and into food. And the rate changes in some places. So it turns out it's actually a very, very complex thing to figure out what the appropriate rate is to assign to a given transaction.
So as a software developer, how do I interact with your software?
So what we have is a service, mm-hmm. where for the calculation side of stuff, when you're going to do a commerce transaction, be it from a accounting application or from an e-commerce, at the point in time when you need to figure out what the appropriate rate to charge is, you connect to our service, and previously you've gone through and you've put in all of your configuration information about your products, where you're supposed to collect tax, because just you might not have to collect tax in some places if you don't have something called Nexus. But with all of that configuration in, you connect to our service when you need to calculate the tax, a very simple call, give us the information about the transaction, we take that, we figure out what the appropriate tax rate is, and send it right back to your application.
Cool. So what Microsoft technologies are interesting to you?
Well, our solution has been, from the very beginning, has been built on top of Microsoft technologies. Mm-hmm. So we run Microsoft SQL Server and the whole Microsoft tech stack out of our own data centers. That's how the service right now we deliver out to the customers. We're also interested in Azure. We've done some ancillary projects in Azure, mm-hmm. especially around a tool that we have that allows people to visually see how all of the shapes and boundaries work for all of the tax jurisdictions. Mm-hmm. We've been very integrally involved on the back end side with Microsoft technologies. On the front end side, we integrate in with all kinds of the Microsoft stuff as well, because all the accounting applications, the CRM, those are all applications that we have connections into, so that customers can, using those products, can very easily get to our service.
So, Jared, you said you had some experiments you were doing with Azure. What's your experience with it, and how did it, you know, what did you learn in your experience? What happened?
So we have internally the way that we create our data in all of the different jurisdictions is we do it with the geospatial tool that allows us to define the boundaries for all of those jurisdictions. Mm-hmm. And we had developed internally a tool whereby the people working on it can look at the pictures of them, because it's very strange, but the reality is they're not even necessarily contiguous. They don't follow zip codes. They don't follow necessarily a city. Sometimes they can look like the spots on a giraffe. And we had developed an internal tool so that the people setting up the and maintaining the data could make sure that they had everything correct. Well, we wanted to expose that so that users could see those tax boundaries. And that wasn't something that we had ever had done in our data centers or had anything like that, because for the most part, we run totally behind the scenes in calculating the tax. So we thought, hey, it'd be pretty cool to make this available so a user could go in and actually look at all of the different shapes associated with all of the different regions. And so we chose to do that with a combination of Azure and SQL Azure and Bing Maps for a bunch of reasons, but some of the primary ones were we knew that we could do it really quickly as opposed mm-hmm. to having to build out an infrastructure to do that. And the other one is that we would have elastic scalability. So we could, if depending on what the volume was and you know how it came in, we'd be able to deal with whatever the load was. It was a pretty painless process. I mean, when you move stuff from your data center into the cloud, there's definitely changes that occur. But because we have always been a Microsoft shop in our data center, we were able to leverage a lot of that in moving over into Azure and into just kind of the concept of a cloud in general. There's definitely some things to keep in mind in that process. Mm-hmm. You have to think about it probably a bit more abstractly. But on the flip side, there's lots of things that in the cloud that are taken care of that you don't have to worry about at all. You're not really worrying about the operational side of stuff as well. So that project, which is called geosalestax.com, turned out to be a great success for us. We took an internal tool that was primarily for us to maintain our data, and were able to very quickly get it out so that a user could go in and look at that exact same stuff without having to go through provisioning stuff in data centers and all the rest of that. So this is GeoSalesTax. This is the screen that you get to when you first load it up. And you can see over here on the left are the different levels of rates. And at the highest level, it breaks out the individual states. When you start to drill down into the states, then the rates will start to diverge, and you'll start to see this same color thing in the individual states. So, for example, we'll go into Seattle here. Or here, even better yet, let's put in one... Microsoft Way, Redmond, Washington. And it will zoom right on in to one Microsoft Way. And now you can see all of the different tax jurisdiction boundaries and a call-out box with the tax detail associated with one Microsoft Way.
So what were some of the advantages of being on Azure?
Well, one of the big advantages is that when we commissioned the project, we went from the idea of taking this tool and making it available to users and getting something available in a very short period of time. You leverage off of the resources that you have available in Azure, and in addition, using the Bing mapping stuff. We were able to do that very quickly. I mean, I think that the project was a month, month and a half, and we were able to then get that out and make something that users could look at and get some value from.
What would you tell somebody who's just getting started with Azure?
If you're a Microsoft shop to begin with, mm-hmm. One of the real advantages you have with Azure is that the knowledge that you have in-house can be immediately applied to what you're going to do in Azure. And in fact, I mean, a lot of the same principles will apply, so it's a benefit to have that knowledge. So, for example, we use SQL Server, and our SQL Server people were able to move right over into Azure SQL and able to do stuff quickly.
Cool. Thank you very much. We'll see you next time.